Timothy, chapter number 4, a familiar passage of Scripture, especially for a charge tonight. This is the charge for our men that are being ordained in the church. We want you to hear that and witness that these men heard this tonight and knew what was right. They knew the doctrines of the Bible. They've been taught in this place, and the church recognized the call of God upon their lives. And we are ordaining them tonight. And tonight, the charge that Paul is saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, and many of you men serve here. Many of you men are on our staff. And then, David, you are going out from here to represent not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but also here us here at the church at Landmark. And so, again, we want to charge you as you go out. The word "I charge" here we see in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The word "charge" means to load like you'd load a gun. If you've ever loaded the idea of loading or packing an old black powder pistol and making sure that that's packed in tight and wedged and ready to explode is the idea here, to charge, to load up with some things to go out. You're being charged and given the if I could say, ordained to the gospel ministry. And again, many of you men have been soul winners. You've been trained in this place, the call of God upon your life. And when you leave this place, we want you to go out for here and preach the word of God. We want you to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere you go. And so tonight, as we look here, I want to read the scripture to you, and we'll come back and make some comments. And again, tonight, church, I want you to encourage to listen, and again, to be able to witness that these men heard these things tonight as they were charged before God and this ordination council. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1, we see, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am," this is Paul writing to his son Timothy, "for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And he says here, he says, "do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." He's inviting him to come. But look at verse 10. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Malta." Here he says, "only Luke is with me." Here we find the Apostle Paul, who has trained so many men. At the end of this list, he lists those men. And again, going out and being sent out is not something that's happening to Demas. Some of these other men that are listed, as he is alone with Luke, he's saying that these other men we sent out to do the work of God to this place, but I held back one to be with me and to help me. And Demas forsook not just Paul, but the service of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the world, because of the cares of this world. He says some things here about having loved this present world. One of the things that each one of you men that is going to be distinctive, not only is your love for the church, is what people see, that we love each other. Thus, we are brethren, or we are a part of the Lord's church. But you know, you ought to love and ordain the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that's evident in your life. There ought to be a love for his word. There ought to be a love between you and the Lord Jesus. Even the reference in the book of Revelation to the first church at Ephesus, he says, "I know your work." But he said there was a problem with their love. "I know your work and your labor." And if you're not careful, sometimes we'll mix up work and labor, and we don't put the love first. Even the question tonight about the family. Your family is your ministry. You can't, if you don't serve right in that ministry, you don't have a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all the other things that you would witness and preach about from God would be tainted. It wouldn't have the same effect and the same, if I could say, the charge, the explosion that comes forth from it. He says in the beginning of the chapter here, "I charge thee therefore by God before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He makes a distinction between two judgments and two different times. He's going to say Jesus is the judge of all, and he is. He is not only the judge of the righteous, and not because of us, but because of his righteousness. He's not just the judge of the dead who will give an answer and eventually be thrown into hell, but he's also the judge of the quick, those that have been quickened by the Spirit of God and passed from death into life, that we often say been born again into the family of God. And you will stand not only before men, but you will preach about both of those judgments. You will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must be, if I could say this, some people come because you preach the truth. Some people have to be pulled out of the fire. Sometimes it's not enough to preach comforting and loving terms to people. Sometimes they need to hear about hell. If you're going to preach like the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll preach more on hell than you will on heaven. Because Jesus knew that that was a place that, listen, every man is headed for that place outside of what they've done in Jesus Christ. So if we don't accept Jesus Christ, we are bound for a devil's hell because of our sin. We preach that, we teach that, but listen, if you're not careful, you'll fall into this new age, and instead of being a preacher of the Word of God, you'll be a teacher. Heaped up to those that draw men into themselves. Now, a man of God ought to be apt to teach the book. We have a college, we have a day school, we have Sunday school in this place, and we teach, but preaching is preeminent. And you're being ordained to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be apt to teach. Teach and train and build up, edify the body of Christ, but don't miss the gospel message unto the masses, unto everybody that will listen, to when you can get five people together and when you can get one at a door. Never forsake preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say number one to you, if you're taking notes, don't forget whom you serve. He says right here in verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go out from this place and you're going to go out into the world and you're going to serve God, one of the things that you're going to go out and do sometimes, if you're not careful, the thing that will trip you up, the thing that will mess you up, is you think you serve you. If you're not careful, you'll think you'll serve the family because that's paramount, right? I've got to take care. No, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you serve him and put him first, everything else, it falls into line. When he's number one, everybody else feels like they're number one. Your wife will feel like she's number one. Your kids will feel like they're number one. Everybody in your life will feel like they get first place because Jesus has first place in your life. Serve him. Never forget whom you serve. Look at verse number 2. Never forget. Don't ever leave it. Preach the word. Don't preach your opinion. Don't preach somebody else's sermon that's not based in a sermon in the Bible. Preach messages that are full of doctrine. Preach the word of God. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. We live in a day and age where everybody preaches philosophy. We have everybody in the world preaching on everything except the word of God. Man, I said it this morning, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you're going to be the man that you ought to be, if you're going to be the ordained man of God that God called you to be, it won't be your words, but you will just simply be his messenger boy and present the word of God to a lost and dying world. You'll present his word to people that are saved and quickened that need to be built up in their faith. Never, ever let me hear that you get to a place where you tear this book down. There are too many places, and time will not allow us to go through, but we live in a society and a place where, again, why do we have a college? Why do we train men? Why do we stand upon the book? Because the book is perfect. None of you will ever stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him say, you believe that book too much. No, it will be this book that judges you when you stand before him. When you stand before him and receive rewards, it will be this book that you will line up with, or you won't. He says here, preach the word, be instant in season. When I think of instant, I think of instant coffee. When you're a kid, you think, man, you can just add water to everything. I was really tripped up by baby powder. I was worried about that one. You didn't want to get any water mixed with that thing. You didn't ever know what was going to happen, right? And we can joke about that a little bit, but instant means that, look, it all, you know, I say it like this, you know, I'd preach at a drop of a hat and I'll throw the hat down. You ought to be instant. There ought to be, if any man gives you an opportunity to witness of the hope that lies within you, the mystery of the New Testament age is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man gives you an opportunity to speak to him, if he speaks to you and opens a window to give the gospel, to share your faith, boy, you ought to be instant. You're a preacher of the word of God. You've been ordained to the gospel ministry. Be ready to give every man an answer. Because every man needs an answer when they stand before God. Every man, according to verse 1, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or they'll stand before the great white throne judgment. And there's one judgment that they want to be at because they're going to enter into heaven and his rest. And another, they're going to be dumped into a devil's hell, a fire that burns with, I mean, can you imagine that the numbers of people that walk by us and are thrown into hell at the great white throne judgment? Judgment. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in that place with blood on my hands because I wasn't instant. Not only in season, but out of season. Where I come from, we are deer slayers. Now, some of you love Bambi, and you may not like that, but I'm preaching to these men, all right? You can just be a witness that I said it. All right? Where I come from, we kill to eat. Amen? Amen. And I don't believe the state owns the deer. Amen. We shoot them in season and out of season. If they need shot, we get them any time they need. You say, well, that's no, I'm just here to tell you, you know, if you're not careful, you know, my family comes first. If my family needed to eat and that buck was out there, I don't care what month of the year it is. Amen. If it's brown, it's down, right? Amen. That's what they say where I'm from, right? I'm just here. And I mean, we're out there, we're hunting, but listen, what about a Christian? You take that fleshly philosophy of the hunt, and as a Christian, a man of God, you ought to be on the hunt. Everywhere you go, you ought not be just looking to put something down and get in the tree stand, but you ought to be out with your word of God, with the New Testament, trying to give every man the gospel, in season and out of season. What does that mean? Well, we live in Florida, so the seasons don't change, bless God. But if you were up north, there'd be seasons that you say it was too hot. If you were up north, it'd be too cold in some other season. Every season, if it seems like it's right to do or it's not right to do wherever you are, it's too hot, it's too sunny, it's too rainy. It's the time to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in season and out of season. All too often, we put off till tomorrow. I believe the spiritual gift of the Baptist is procrastination. For too many. Don't fall into that. Don't put off till tomorrow what you could do today, because you're not promised tomorrow. Just because your soul is settled and sealed into the day of redemption, you ought to be looking for somebody else's. Soul conscious. He says, and look at this in verse 3 and 4, for the time will come, and let me say the time has come, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We live in that day. We live in the day where men and women all the time are leaving the church because the church preaches doctrine. I preached about it this morning. You preach doctrine, it'll divide. You preach the Bible, you preach the gospel, you preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You preach everything the book has in it. Give them the whole counsel of God, and it will turn away some, and they'll scratch their ears on the way out the door because they didn't like what they heard. All throughout the ages of Baptists, not only in other foreign lands, but in this country, we realize that everything that happens to us, so don't you be scared, and don't you let some country tell you when you're going to have church and when you're not. Amen. Don't you let some small municipality or somebody else, you think COVID is over? Yeah, okay. They're just going to wrap it, repackage it, and call it something else, and they'll be trying to shut down the church. You preach the word. Amen. You say, what if they close and lock the doors? Well, preach in the parking lot. Amen. Preach anywhere you can preach. You meet and gather the church of God together. Don't you let anybody shut you down. And don't be afraid of what man can do under you. You realize that you have a higher power that you serve. And one day you'll stand in front of a bigger judge than any judge they can put in front of you on earth. Because this people, this age that we live in is a Laodicean church age. And even at best, some places, some of the best places, I thank God. Listen, you, this place ain't, this is not everywhere. It's not like Landmark everywhere. Amen. This is not a Laodicean church. But you'll find yourself with some Laodicean people in some places. And if you're not careful, instead of preaching the word, you'll try to settle in and get lukewarm with them. Don't you do that. You'll end up just like Demas. You'll be like Demas. Listen, don't think that Demas didn't get a little lukewarm before he loved this present world and turned his back on Jesus Christ. Amen. Know who you serve. Know what you preach. You preach the word of God. Know when you preach. You live in the last days. You're not promised tomorrow. There are men that preached in ages of the past that could see afar off, and Israel was not a nation yet. And they look forward to what God would do and come back. But we live, and all the signs of his coming are all around us. They have all been filled. Realize you're not guaranteed tomorrow to preach. So you preach today. Give it your all. Wear out, don't rust out. Preach the word. Look at this. He tells us three things here in verse number 5 through 7. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to encourage you to do these three things from the verses. Know to watch. Do you know we need to watch for the coming of the Lord? He gives a crown of righteousness to those that love his appearing. One of the greatest things we can do for the church of God as we preach is to make them mindful on a consistent basis that Jesus is coming again. That motivates us. If you're a believer, that motivates you to get to work for the Lord. He's coming. There's work to do. He's coming. Watch. Watch. And he says here in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things and endure affliction. So if you were wondering if affliction would come, it will. Preacher told you got a target on your back. You're getting ordained today. And again, what an honor to be able to serve the Lord and be ordained into the gospel ministry. But realize the devil just put a target on you. Realize that affliction will come, not the may come. You have to realize the seriousness of this event to the place where you realize you're going to endure affliction if you're going to preach the word, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be what you ought to be. How about this? Do the work of an evangelist. You're not just being ordained to preach, but listen, many of you will pastor. Some of you will serve in different areas of the ministry, but what else? You've got to do the work of an evangelist. Gather everybody you can together. Be a soul winner. Get after souls. You're commanded as a preacher. I'm charging you today in the word of God, just like he spoke it to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. You say, well, I'm a pastor. I want a shepherd. That's all right. Be the sheepdog too. Run around and bark them into a circle if you have to. Don't wait till the evangelist comes by. All right? Put your spurs on and go on. Amen. Some of you aren't cowboy enough to know what I just said, but listen, there's some horses you can ride without spurs, and there's some you need some spurs. The evangelist always comes in with spurs, gouges your horse up and leaves you with sores that you got to patch up. Amen? But sometimes, every once in a while, the preacher needs to put on some spurs. And he needs the gouge. You say, why? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Because sometimes we need to hear it. Because sometimes we get a little lukewarm and we think that it's always going to be like it is today. And that Jesus is coming is afar off. But it's coming. He's coming. How about this? Know when to war. Do you know that you're on a battlefield, folks? You got a target on your back. You ought to put some targets on some things. You ought to preach against this foolishness about transgenderism. You ought to preach against and stand against people killing the babies. You ought to stand up and preach against everything under the sun that's against the word of God. People ought not to have to wonder what you think about the sin of this age. You ought to preach and preach and preach it. Say, preacher, you just talking about offending people? No, I'm talking about going to war against alcohol. I'm talking about going to war against drug, going to war against everything under the sun that would raise its head up and steal people's souls away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Know when to watch, know when to work, and know when to war. Sometimes we think, again, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, you can make peace with so many people if you'll just give them the gospel. But there are some people like old Pharaoh that won't have it. And you're going to have to war with them. But the blessing is, and these guys said, you don't have to stand alone. Moses and the people of God did pretty good because there was a God on their side. And he made short work of an army. And listen, that is the same God that you serve today. And if you trust him and he says go to war, just go to war. Because there's no army that can be massed together that can stand against our God. There's no city council. There's no state. There's no country that can stand up against Almighty God. When you have chapter and verse on it, it's time to go to war. How about this? No better than to turn back. Many of you men have served a long time. Not all of you. You're not rookies. All right? We're ordaining men that we've watched in the ministry and you've served. But no better. Demas wasn't some first-year rookie. Demas wasn't somebody that was a flash in the pan. But you know, sometimes there are men that burn out. You know why men burn out? Because they got away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know I preached this morning, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is easy. Listen, I don't know about you, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've ever since I got in a yoke with him, you know, it's been pretty easy. You say, well, what about work? Yeah, there's work. Do you have to watch? Man, I got to watch all kinds of people, you guys especially. No, you know, I mean, we can go through those things, right? We got to watch. We have to work. We have to do the work of the evangelist. We have to war. But in the midst of all those things, I love what God's called me to do. Because I spend every day with him. I spend every day in his work. Hey, folks, we began a lot of this. And I want you to realize Ephesians chapter 5, when we talk about how important the marriage relationship is and the family. When Jesus speaks of himself in the church, he speaks of a marriage relationship and a love. Do you know when you love right, the work isn't work anymore? The work isn't this great burden that I'm going to have a mental breakdown. I'm going to have a breakdown. Folks, you know what happens? You get a mental breakdown when you start thinking instead of putting your mind in where the mind of Christ should be. When you start putting your labor in where Christ said, this is where I ought to labor. When I start putting me and my ideas and man's philosophy in the midst of Jesus Christ's work, that's when the wheels will come off of it. And that's when old Demas said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm not making any money. I'm not gaining any ground. I don't see God blessing today. And he turned back because he loved the present world. Folks, if you're not careful, you've been separated. This is a called out assembly of believers out of the world. And now you men are being called out of that group to serve God in a special way, to preach the gospel, to be ordained to the gospel ministry. And yes, that puts a target on your back, but this is a privilege. This is a great privilege that's been bestowed upon you. And you need to realize the seriousness. I want you to see this in verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know this crown of righteousness? Listen, you know your righteousness is as filthy rags, but you know that you ought to picture the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life and your purity ought to be to a place where people can see your life and say, man, I want to walk with Jesus like that. I want to be that kind of man. I want to have that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be the leader. Do you know what leading means? It means I go before. You ought to go before in your study, in your purity, in the way you dress, in the way you talk, in every manner of this life. You ought to be an example of the believer. You ought to be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. No better than to turn back. Too many times, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens one little thing that I let up on and one little thing I let up on. Folks, Jesus is too close for us to turn back now. Jesus is too close. There are too many people on the precipice of hell for us to turn back now. There's too much at stake to turn back now. I charge you tonight to preach the word, to go forward, to watch, work, and war for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I ask you tonight to be with these men. Lord, as we get ready to ordain them and to pray over them and lay hands on them, God, as you said we ought to, Lord, I pray that you would use these men mightily for your work, for your honor and glory. God, I pray you'd be with them. Help them to watch, to keep watch over your people, Lord, and whatever fasten you choose to use them for. Lord, I pray you'd use them like shepherds, Lord, to watch over your people. Lord, I pray you'd use them like evangelists, and that they would yield themselves to the work of God to see people saved through preaching and every other avenue that you choose to give them. God, I pray, God, that you'd help them in this late day, this late hour, as we see the evils in our world. Lord, help us to stand and to war when you tell us to fight. God, help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help these men to stay faithful, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, we just beg you. We lift them up to you. We give them, Lord. I know you've called these men. Lord, help us now as we just try to charge them up and pray over them, Lord. I pray that you would. These men are going to ask for many different things for these men. God, I pray that you would be in your will to give them all of them tonight that they're asked for. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you men, if you'll grab these chairs, we're going to set chairs up. I'll ask these men if you guys will grab those chairs and make sure they get set up. Leave a space in the middle. And then ordination council, you guys go ahead and come down and get ready to stand with the men that I asked you to stand with. Tonight, church, just for time's sake, we're going to have three men pray over the microphone, but all these other men will lay hands on all these different men, and they're in order here, and pray while we're praying over the microphone as well. And we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them tonight. And so we'll ask you to be in an attitude of prayer tonight as we pray over these men, and you pray for them. And if you know their names, and you pray for them by name tonight as we go over and pray for each one of these men. And then we're going to distribute their ordination certificates and Bibles. We're going to ask your wives. You guys go ahead. If their wives will come and sit with them. Do we have enough chairs? We need to make sure there's chairs on both sides. There's chairs over here as well. We'll grab them. If your wives will come and sit with you, we'll ask you to do that at this time. We have enough chairs. There we go. All right. All right. We're spread out here. All right. We're going to ask Brother Grafton. You guys sit down if your wives could take a seat with you. Thank you, men. And we tried to organize this a little bit, so we're going to make sure these men get with the man and couple that they're supposed to be praying over. Now, I'd ask each one of you men to go ahead and lay hands on them if you would. And while we're praying here over the microphone, we want you praying over each one of them and asking God. You can call it out by, and you can pray out loud if you choose to. It's not speaking in tongues, speak in English, all right? But we'll ask Brother Grafton to pray, then preacher will pray, and then I'll close the service.
Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege we have of being in this special service. And God, these six men, you've called these six men to go out and serve you. And Lord, they've answered that call. So God, we just pray that your special, special blessing on them. Lord, there will be challenges will come. We just trust, God, that they will seek your advice, your guidance as these challenges come. And Lord, as they serve here in this ministry, or if you choose to send them elsewhere, God, we would just pray that they will never deviate from the doctrine of the King James Bible. God, we ask your special, special blessing on them, on their families. We would ask, Lord, that you give them souls for their efforts as they labor for you. Just bless them in a real special way. God, we are privileged to be able to do this for them. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we do thank you for what we've seen and heard and the privilege, Father, of doing just tonight what we read about being done in the book of Acts. We know, Lord, you're still calling men. You're still preparing them for the ministry. You're still using them. And Father, we believe you're going to do that until Jesus comes. And Lord, this group could be one of the last groups that goes out into the field while the harvest is still white. We ask your blessing on them tonight, on their families, on the ministry you'll put them in. Many of them will continue, perhaps pretty close to us. Some of them may go afar. But Lord, we know you can go with them. You can watch over them. You've promised to supply their needs through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you will. Father, there'll be times that they'll not see the way out. They'll be in a struggle. They'll not know which way to turn. But Lord, even in the midst of that, they can trust that you'll show them and guide them. And Father, that you'll give them the strength for the warfare they're going into. Lord, there'll be the blessed times when you'll call people. It'll be such a blessing to them. And you'll supply their need through the giving of men. We pray that they would understand, Father, that it all comes from you. That they'll never themselves compromise what they believe, compromise your word. Just, Father, because they don't see where you can do it, because you can and you will and you've Amen. Promised to. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessing on their family, on their children, on their needs, on their health. And Father, may they be a shining example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that example may be when they're low and hurting and suffering, or it may be when they're on the mountaintop. But we thank you, Father, that you can be in both places. You're not just the God of the mountaintop, but the God of the valleys also. We pray that you'd bless them through those valleys they must go through, that you'd give them souls for their effort, for their hire, that they'll one day rejoice bringing their sheaves with them around your throne. We pray for them in a special way. May they have that close and personal prayer life and in the Word of God that'll keep them close to you. Give them everything that they need, but Father, we pray that they would learn to trust you all the way. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the good news we have to share about him. Thank you, Father, that a world that has no answers, that we can take the answer to them and tell them how to receive the Lord Jesus. Again, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for these that are praying for them. Thank you for the church that's sending them out. And ask your blessing on them in a special way tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Tonight, Lord, as we close in prayer, we just again ask you to just bless these men. Lord, we thank you for each one of them and their lives. We pray that you go with the youngs, Lord, as they leave us, Lord, as a ministry, as we send them out from this place to serve you in Ohio. God, I pray that you go with them, Lord. Just watch over them, supply their every need, take care of them, Lord. And there's so many other men here being ordained tonight, Lord, that will stay in our ministry. I pray you'd bless both them and their wives, Lord. I pray that you would just supply their every need, Lord, through your riches and glory. We pray, God, that you just do a work in their lives through, in, and through them. that they can clear, it can clearly be seen that it was only of God. Lord, I pray tonight as we go from this place, give safety to those that have come for the ordination. Lord, help us to rejoice, Lord, but I pray that you'd help keep these men faithful and close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We're going to give these men their ordination certificates and Bibles, and then you can come and get pictures with them and do whatever you need to do afterwards. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Staying together. Be dismissed. Thank you so much. Amen.